Nellie Taylor Broderick is being interviewed by Renee Garalick for Concord's Oral History Program. The interview is taking place on January 24, 1992 at the Peter Buckley Terrace Building. Nellie is 97 years old. Her friend Anna Mannion is present during this interview. Nellie, will you tell me when you were born and describe the neighborhood you grew up in?
I was born in 1894 on Lexington Road. And we lived there a very short time. And then later, what my hometown was back in the depot. It was a typical country neighborhood of many different people from different countries. And, but they got along well. I never saw any badness in between them. What I saw was helping each other. Very demonstrative. People had babies, everybody went out to care of them. People were sick, they went out and took care of them. The fun times, like the circus, brought people together, and holidays brought people together. And there was always good feeling between the Irish and the Italian, very much. And then, not so much with Canadian, some of the Canadian people lived there. And school was precious. When I walked into the third grade every morning, I walked into another world. To good old Miss Clark. And it was not only the reading and writing and whatever. She always had something like it was music. We learned about Mozart, and we learned it, minuet, and she had an art day when she'd bring an artist's pictures and tell us all about them. And then we had to know things that were going on about that time and about time before, and to get that information from our parents. And then, as I say, that was the best. But my father had, as Irish, he didn't have much education. But over there, they had to learn what he called the ABC, and how to do certain trades. But he was very thorough, and very important that we learn. When we came home from school at night, we had to tell him everything that went on that day, and we better have it right. And if we were cutting up or got interested in what he thought we should be doing, we would have to go to bed. Another thing that was...
How many were in your family?
There was four. Mm-hmm. I was the oldest, and then Billy and Sal, and my little brother, Mike. My brother Mike was born in January, and that year my mother died. And it was very difficult. But then again, at the rain, the neighborhood came together. When my mother was sick, she was on bed so long, maybe a TB, the neighbors helped her all the time. There was one good neighbor, the Neelys. They lived this side of us. The minute they were an elderly couple and had other younger people going, they were so good and so thoughtful. And when my mother died and we had nobody to take care of us, the point was that through the doctors, something must be done to protect us. We shouldn't be left alone, and my father shouldn't be left with children like that. So the first person who took care of us was a lady across the street. And she was a Canadian English. And she was very good to us and very thoughtful of us and very generous. But she was an addict. I can't think of it. An addict. Something they drank to make them feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so she couldn't do that anymore. Then the authorities got two housekeepers in succession, and they didn't work out well because they were drinkers too. They weren't dependable. But then we got a little old lady, and she wasn't much of a housekeeper, but she was a great cook, and she was very, very fond of us children or any children. And that worked out beautiful. But Lorraine, the biggest thing in my life was my Aunt Mary. She was my father's sister. And she took the burden, most of the burden, of us. She took us over. And she worked every day. She would come in the morning before she went to work, and she'd come in again at night when she was going home to check on us. Saturday she would come down, and she would do things we had to have done, like cleaning, and then also cooking she would do for us, and also religion, catechism, church. If there's anything that I should be proud of, they should be proud of, it's my Aunt Mary. And we weren't the only ones, but we were the most needed because of what did happen.
Did your father and mother come from Ireland?
Yes. My father came from Waterford.
What was his name?
And I've heard about it very much because many prominent people came from that area. The McCures, the Mansfields, the Sheehans, the Ryans. I'm quite sure of my name.
What was your father and mother's name?
My father was Talbot.
His first name?
John. Mm-hmm. John Peter Talbot. My mother was Annie O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born in Cork City. And she came here. They used to get the English paper, and it were American papers. Sunday they would go through them to see if there was any offers of a job from the United States. So that's how they found a job. And it brought, that was my mother, and Aunt Lizzie, and Aunt Sarah. And that brought them to Maine. A ship town. Well, that brought them there. And then they met some working out girls from Quonset. And they said, well, Quonset was such a great place to work and they ought to come work there. So they finally decided to come to Quonset, and they've got jobs here. And as he went to work for our this young horse, and a chambermaid, and she, the other maid was Fitzgerald. What's her first name? Ethel Fitzgerald, anyway. She was Mrs. Kennedy's mother. She was the other worker in that house, just Sherman Hall.
When you say Mrs. Kennedy, do you mean the Kennedy family, that is the well-known Kennedy family?
Yeah, back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like I say, Mrs. Kennedy, that's Rose.
Mm-hmm.
This woman I'm talking about is Rose's aunt.
Oh.
I see.
And they were Hannahs from West Concord.
Mm-hmm.
And
did a lot of the Irish women work as maids?
Yes, and everybody had a job. Everybody had to go to get an extra job. And I have to say this, the working out people, as far as I know, and for people who worked for them, treated them very well. And then there were also, beside the main seat, the Yankees, there was Hood's Hill. So we were the Shattuck Hill now. And they were the same, thoughtful, putting good things in your way. I never saw any Irishman that didn't work. Their maid only had two jobs. It was a case of looking out for each other, watching over. And it was good. It was good.
You said your mother died of tuberculosis.
Yes.
Was that a common illness then?
Yes, it went all through our family before her, not afterward. But before she died, two of my father's brother and a sister died of it. And my mother was sick for a year, and she was in bed most of the time. And I knew she was sick, and I didn't know she was dying. But she might go into her and look at her, and she'd open her eyes, and she'd smile. Her eyes weren't open. I would lift her lids, and she'd smile. And Michael Bryan, my cousin, he used to come down, because he might make something. And he used to come down and sit on her, and he'd sit beside her and hold her hand. He was thoughtful for a young man like that. But I think, as far as me and my brothers and sisters, and my cousins, the O'Briens, we looked out each other pretty well.
Was St. Bernard's Church an important part of your life?
Yes. In fact, we had a Sunday school library, and we used to wear, got great reading from that. And then in grammar school, you had to go to have an extra Sunday school. And but if you wanted to have something special, there was an afternoon Sunday school class, and it was taken over by Mary Harrington. And she was, she had charge of that telephone company in Boston. But she's one of the best things that happened to me, because I like to read and I like to know things, and I wouldn't miss that for anything. And then when we got Monument Hall, that was a great thing, because we had plays and we had singing things, concerts, and minstrel show. Anne's father was a minstrel show man, and that was a great fun. I learned a lot, and I was in my class play in high school. And the minstrel show was another play.
What was St. Patrick's Day like at Monument Hall? How was it celebrated?
I don't remember it being celebrated here. What I remember is most of the Irish people, the men and the women too, went to Charlestown. And there was a big celebration in Charlestown. They had uniforms and all kinds of regalia and marching. And I know my father and my Uncle Dan and other men from the depot and some from Sleepy Hollow. Many people from Concord went.
I saw a picture in the history of St. Bernard's Church, where there is your mother, your uncle Daglin,
mm-hmm.
and your aunt Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
That was taken on their wedding day?
Yes.
Was Lake Walden a popular place
oh,
to
yes,
go to?
Yes, mm-hmm. It's like a field day, like the capital field day. And yes, it was very much like that. There was a dance hall there, and there was a little railroad station there. And it was on the better side then than what is better now. Because people gathered there for the dancing and the entertainment. Another thing we had in Hockett, it was always happening in October, but Henry Higginson, he lived in Lincoln, or Baker Bridge, and he had a big field day for people. Everything was free, and that was a big event. And of course, when the nicest parade was Memorial Day, because it not only honored the soldiers, but it honored everybody. Everybody that was gone, families, whole families took part. And before Memorial Day happened, it was in the end of the winter too. People would go together. They go to Hood's Hill and they would pick flowers from Lady Slipper and bouncy little flower. Mm-hmm. But several nice flowers. And then they would be brought to the army, and then they would be made into wreaths. And the wreaths would be carried by the boys in the parade. And then after the First World War, when girls could be in the parade, as a memorial for the girls to also take part because of the war. It was something to be remembered because it was home, and it was yours, and it was everybody. And everybody had somebody that was somewhere to be remembered. It was so from the heart, like.
And it was very hometown, wasn't it?
Hmm?
It was very hometown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I have to say how treasured I am with what has happened to me. I never thought I was going for it, although I wanted it. But now I'm where I am now, and I look back and I talk about it to people, I realize how much I have, that I could never have any other way.
You span two centuries.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
When you grew up here, there was a lot of land to roam as a child.
Yes, and you know now, Little Concord's so important as it always was, and in a different setting for me. I learn more every day. And the nice part of it is, the people that are here, they want to know. And I like that. I'm pleased with that, that they want me to tell them.
Right now, we are at the place where you went to elementary school, Peter Buckley School.
No, I didn't go to school then.
Oh, you didn't?
No,
okay.
That mm-hmm. comes very much later. No, I went to Old Ripley, Old Emerson.
I see.
And then went to Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think this is about 75 years old.
I see.
Did you go here?
Yes.
No. And Eileen O'Brien went here. Mm-hmm. And some people that have come here to visit have gone here.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. You even precede this school building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In your experience.
Yeah, it's an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a wonderful high school and wonderful teachers. You didn't have a Wells Hall that came after you again.
Well, he was superintendent of schools.
Oh.
He gave me my first job in the schools.
Oh, did he? Oh.
You even remember as a child, because you said you lived on Byron Street?
Yes.
And that wasn't far from Daniel Chester French's old house?
Yeah, he had the Bartholomew's. He had a food store, and Sarah was is still there, and she's married there. And like I said, the Neelys were very good as neighbors. And then Dave Hayes and his family, and the family was Laughlin's. Mrs. Laughlin, she didn't live long after when I was little, but we used to go over Brook Street to play there, and because there was a big trunk of a willow tree, and it lay across the brook from the street side to the meadow side, and it was like a stage light. We used to sit there and take a lunch there and have lots of fun there. And when we were going over in the morning, we'd have to go by Mrs. Laughlin's house. And she'd always say, caution us to be good and don't behave yourself over there. And then she was, usually she would have some bread out. And she would butter some bread, make bread sandwiches. We'd take them with us for our food and have them over there at the party. And then we used to go over into Mr. Hubbard's farm. And he didn't like us there. He didn't like any kid. And
was that on Sudbury Road?
Yes. Yes. So we had a little box with him.
You remember walking down to Daniel Chester French's old barn?
His what?
The barn where Daniel Chester French used to keep his sculpture models.
Yeah, no, that's on Sudbury Road.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, I remember.
So you actually would go in and see these
yes.
sculpture models?
And you know, I have nobody that knows that to prove it. But it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it now. And somebody from Hollis's.
That was the family that lived
yeah,
there.
Always kind of supervised it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mrs. Hollis was a woman that was interested in children. And she was very generous, very thoughtful kind of a lady. And some of us had dolls, and she would question us about the dolls and look them over and everything. And then she got to the point where she was making the dolls clothes. And she had a friend on Main Street, and Mrs. Sherman Hall, and she was to tell us to go to Mrs. Sherman Hall, and she would give you something. We had pieces of cloth galore to make things for the dolls.
As a child, you were able to kind of roam around the farmland, picking strawberries, blueberries.
Yes. Yes, I picked strawberries every year. And that's the way we got our clothes to go back to school. I'd have a nice home rig to go back to school the morning I learned in strawberries. And then also, when the season was about over, the people owned the farm would let you go in and pick what you wanted. And like a way you might pay a penny a box, and you'd have enough to make a jelly or jam or whatever. And there was never, nothing was ever wasted. Somebody got it.
What kind of work did your father do?
He was a gardener. He was a pretty good gardener. And he had some people that were, always had him, like Mrs. Richard Wood, an elderly lady then. In fact, she owned a good deal of the back of the depot. And Mrs. Richard Wood, he was a gardener, and that was one of his best customers. And then next to Mrs. Wood was a house with pillars in front of it, and that was the King House, and my Aunt Mary worked there every week. And then he also worked, there was a man, the New Wind, where they come out from the lane back to the depot on a Main Street. There was a retired general. In fact, his daughter is in this area somewhere. She was at Monument Hall one time when they had one of those things about Concord. You know, that's when you were in the beginning there. You were there. And her father was in it, retired general. And as I say, she was here. And they tell me she used to ride her bicycle to Boston and that. But now she lives further down.
Is that Elizabeth Backhouse she's talking about? Was it Elizabeth Darling?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Is she still living?
Yes, yes.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I talked to her at Windbeck Homes those mm-hmm. times in the Monument Hall, but she was no younger than I was, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, but like that, she was full Concord.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Your brother drove a cab, Bill.
Yeah.
And he seemed to enjoy showing people around Concord.
Oh, yeah.
And he became, I'm told, like an unofficial ambassador
yes.
to Concord.
Yes. But you know, it's a strange thing. He wasn't a good student in school. But he was an avid reader.
Mm-hmm.
And he found this book, and I think the name of it was done was by Barker, a man named Barker. And the woman in the library was to help him a lot. This person was Barker. And Barker had a picture in the book of Concord in 1630. But from that developed a portrait. From the picture that I painted this portrait. And then somebody, what's the boy that did the photography there? Anderson?
Bill Anderson.
Bill mm-hmm. Anderson. Yes, when Bill Anderson took a lot of pictures like that, he took a lot of those pictures of that area and made that part. And these pictures that were copied by a photograph of the original picture, they're still around. Jackie Flynn has one, and a couple of other people have one.
Your brother took a lot of pictures also of
yes.
Concord.
Yeah. Oh, Billy did a lot. Mm-hmm. We had a terrible snowstorm one winter. I often think of it now when this time of the year. And he had quite a number of them. Some of them were in the gold.
In winter, you ice skated?
Yes. We ice skated on the Hertz Hill, the Shattuck Hill. And we had to make up our own things to skate with. The boys here used to use barrel skates. You know what a barrel skate is?
Mm-hmm.
And they used to skate with, ski with barrel skates. And my father had a sled. It was a big square, real big square sled. And he used for, in his work, because in the winter he took care of Francis. And you could sit four people on that. And we used to go down the hill on that. When you need somebody to push halfway. It was so clumsy.
At night, you've mentioned to me once that there were bonfires so people could skate at night, and that have been very colorful.
That was right behind Betty Kaiser's house. And they would skate all around there. And
was that on Monument Street or Main Street?
Main Street.
Main Street.
Where the
hill. And then you go up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they, oh, great crowd there. I remember the Valley Boys were quite scared. They were really top skating. And they would skate all the way to Fairhaven Bay. And that's quite a thing.
Where Debbie Greeley lives now.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And they'd skate down the other way down to Head Rock. That's, I said that, but I think it was beautiful. They had a big bonfire. Sometimes they had sandwiches. But what I remember most was the older people. They weren't old people, they were young old people. And they were so thoughtful of kids. Seeing you get home. And even this Judge Kies, we call him Petty Kies. He wasn't always very nice. He was apt to be gruff, and he could be real nasty. But somehow or other, he had a sort of a feeling with little kids. And we used to say he was in love with Peggy O'Brien, because anybody had him to do anything, he'd do it for Peggy. Well, he might do Peggy a ride, or no one give us a ride.
What was the relationship between Peggy and you? You were
my cousin Peggy.
Your cousin, okay.
Peggy's my best. Oh yes, we used to go horse drawn. Two big, nice big horses from McManus's, and we go to Waltham, and we go the other way, and that was a big deal in the winter time. And then some of it would be older ones, and as I got older, they would go to dances in Waltham, or they would go to dances in Marlborough. As I say, it's beautiful. These two beautiful big horses.
Now McManus's stable was on Thoreau Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right across from where the depot is now. And yes, they had they also had another chore. They was an assignment made that they could go to Nagrob. Lake Nagrog in the summer for, I know it was a month or 2 months, but it was just quite a little bit in the summer. And so many kids could go, and you had to take your turn. And then lunches were provided, and we went to Lake Nagrog, but we couldn't go on swimming. That was forbidden. And it was very plain.
So I'm looking at a photo here of McManus's stable, and there seemed to be a lot of horses that were boarded there, and tourists riding around in carriages. Do you remember that?
Yes.
In the winter, did you ride on the pungs?
Pardon?
In the winter, did you ride on the pungs?
Oh, yes. The first traveling I did. We used to go in. That was a big deal up to Carlisle, Bedford. after school. Yeah, that was great.
And these were runners that were put on the sleigh?
Yeah, you would stand on the runner. The big, bright, big one, like that. Yeah, very heavy one.
And why is it when people reminisce back in the earlier days of this century, it always seemed to be a lot of snow around?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you remember a lot of snow?
It seems so. Then I remember a nice part of spring coming, and of course summer was the cattle show field, and sometime I want to talk to you about the cattle show field. That was summer, and spring was beautiful. And then, of course, the family holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthday.
Where did you go for Thanksgiving?
Usually we went to Aunt Mary's. Yeah. Every Thanksgiving we went to Aunt Mary's. We went up, usually like a Christmas or a Thanksgiving Eve, we would go to Aunt Mary's. And then we would walk back to the depot.
And where did your Aunt Mary live?
She lived up Sudbury, beyond where, a little bit beyond where Nan used to live.
Potter Street she lived mm-hmm. on.
Mm-hmm. And a grand old neighborhood, good people. Yeah.
Tell me about the cattle show grounds.
Well, that's... I have something, I'll get it if I can find it. We know the cattle show field is an entertainment place, and the circus and the field days and all that sort of thing. And you would remember that, Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because your father took part in a lot of it. And
they'd have a Civil War veteran come and speak to us.
Yeah.
And George Wheeler used to come, and he lived across the street from
George
me.
Wheeler, yes.
And then later on, of course, they had people from the Spanish-American War, because
yeah.
most all of the others were
yeah.
that died.
Oh, yes, I remember.
But we
that
used to look forward to that.
That was a treasure. Mm.
You remember Civil War veterans coming and
oh, yes.
in the parade?
Yes.
And
mm-hmm. They'd come to all the schools and talk to us in assembly.
Spanish-American? One, that's not Livermore.
And he owned the cattle show grounds?
He was big in Wall Street later. He
mm-hmm.
was one of the big
yeah.
men who came from Acton and went to Wall Street and made a fortune, and then he lost it all, remember?
Yes, he was considered the most famous and the richest person that dabbled in...
Yeah, and he came up from nothing. Nobody all by himself,
yeah.
and suddenly he blew it all somehow.
Did Jesse Livermore live in Concord?
I don't think he ever mm-hmm. lived in Concord, do you?
No, he didn't.
He lived
no.
in Acton.
No, and one night, remember when they had the editors, well, used to be on Friday nights, this Jesse's father was on, and he spoke of his son, and he was called the richest boy,
tycoon,
something like that.
And he was, I think he was in his teens when he first started doing it. But why was he, Anna and me remember it was a show field, and it was a big place to have, Labor Day was a big thing, and there was horse racing, and Mr. Maker was a great man for having horses there, and he had one little black horse that his name was Topsy M, and he used to win all the prizes. And then part of the year wasn't Maytime, but there was a maypole, and there was this great big old barn. It was two floors, rickety place. Yeah, because when sometimes the older kids could dance there, And as you were dancing, the floor would move up and
down to them.
You see. But that's something special, really special, because it's some more of Cronkite.
It's community.
Yeah.
Community fun. And,
yeah.
Jimmy Powers used to talk about the sulky racing there.
Yeah. You know, Jimmy was a pretty good historian.
Good, he was.
You know,
he practically lived on the cattle show as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that the, And the kids used, after the circus at night, men used to help the circus people bring down their stuff. And then before the circus came, started up, in the morning before, the kids used to go down over to the river and help the circus people feed the elephants, and the elephants would bring up the water and squirt it all over the place. That was a big fun.
It must have been thrilling when you found out that the circus was coming to town.
And sometimes in reading some histories and where some of the towns are into it, there's a similarity in the towns. New England isn't much different from Middle West.
It was a common era, common time that America shared together.
Now, Guy DiGiovanni has bought all of the Wilson Lumber in the house where she grew up.
I see. Would you tell me about the welcoming that the Terry McHugh family from Lexington Road gave the Irish when they arrived, and in particular your family?
Yes. Well, they came from a certain area, and many Concord people came from the same area. And the McHughs came here because some relation of Terry were here before it. And so there, Terry was already settled in. So when other people came, Terry took them in. And then he'd find them a job, and it was very good to help them. And then, in a way, my father is related to them in a kind of an odd way. See, Terry's Terry's Mary was Terry McHugh was married to Margaret Troy. And Margaret Troy was a daughter of Terry McHugh was a daughter, Margaret McHugh was a daughter of Patty D. And my father was David Towler. And he married Ellen Troy. So my father and Terry McHugh's wife, Mrs. McHugh, are first cousins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a cousin.
You wrote a poem about him.
Yes.
Do you want to read it?
That's the one I had.
Mm-hmm.
There's two versions of that song. This one that I read, and there's another one.
Why don't you do the version that you like, the one that you like.
The one that I like?
Yeah.
Well, I know it by heart. He welcomed them with open arms. He found them work on neighbors' farms. He made them laugh with words so witty, and matched them up with girls so pretty. On Saturday night and Sunday too, they gathered together for a drop of the brew. They jigged and they reeled and they lifted the cup, and they found their way home when the sun came up. In this new land, they found a friend, Terry McHugh, from Concord's East End.
That's lovely. You wrote another poem, and Anna has it. She'll read it.
It's called When I Was Young. When I was young, it was a custom to often visit St. Bernard Cemetery on Sundays and holidays.
Do you remember that, Anne?
No.
I'm sure your family would go.
Friends gathered there to say a prayer, to reminisce, but I never think of them being there. I see them as they were on the mill dam, in the library, at celebrations, parades. They have marched on, but they are always in memories.
That's
yeah,
very
that
nice.
Was a nice custom.
I remember so much because
Aunt Mary always went there.
Maybe my grandparents used to do it, though.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for sharing this with us.
You flatter me.
No, you flatter. It is my pleasure to be with you.
Well,
thank
I appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.